Blog Talk Radio.
Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe,
Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
Live Yahweh's Radio. Special edition called Thursday Evening. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Special edition Thursday Evening. I'll be your host by name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a brand new series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries of the Bible from Tribe of YHDH Yagda, who the six anointed counts of voices of the true Israelites. So we're going to throw down the international side and see who all will be joining us for another episode, part number two of this brand new series as we lay the foundation down. And before we get right back off into lining things up, so you'll be able to line things better once you get your foundation down. So we must lay the foundation plainly. And once we do that, you'll be able to see everything unfold. And when another name or something jump up, you catch it right away. That's if your foundation is laid properly. We're going to scroll down the international side and see how many international countries have logged in to this broadcast. Part number two. Part number two. And all the slots are filled, so that's 195 international countries. And that's a great thing. So that means a representative in for every country. And sooner or later, we will be making our exit to these countries, those that Yahweh leaders to, that really kind of got a grasp on exactly what's going on and what they have to do to make their part work. And thus says Yahweh. And what's flashing on the international side is 111642. 111642 is flashing on the international side. So we're going to leave it like that and bring our elder in and bring him in. And this is part two of a profound series that will be unlocking the biblical mysteries of the Bible by the tribe of Yahda Judah, the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. And so step it up, and a lot of information you'll be hearing unfold itself through scripture, and we'll try to keep it where you can just go to your telephone or go to your computer and just pull up. We'll do some light things for you where you can go to your phone or your computer right away and to keep up with some things that we're going to bring to the table. But in classes, we'll definitely step it up even more in classes. So we can go find our elder and bring him in, and when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be to thy seed right.
And Yahweh bless you, seer Israel, the seed royal. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. You kind of a little low, maybe because I got my microphone turned down. Let me see, can I hear you a little bit better? Okay, I think it might have been turned down, I don't know. All right, so whatever you got to tell this national audience, part two of 195 international countries, they got a representative in. 111642 is flashing, so whatever you got to say, you take your time and look at 111642, eyeball to eyeball, and take it from there. You on the clock, come on.
Well, first of all, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And before we proceed, I'll probably gently ask if we can be heard okay.
Yeah, you all find you more than good there. Elder, you're more than good. Take your time and speak to the 195 international countries. 111642 is flashing. So take your time and tell them what the Almighty have put on you to tell them. You know, the clock, come on.
Well, as I said before, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel. And I do appreciate being brought into tonight's broadcast with all the listening members attending. Looks like 111,642 members. My, this is a large class. But I said already, that's a good thing. You know, it makes me think before we get started, we talk to a lot of people most of the time on our own. And we find that there's a lot of strange beliefs, a lot of strange thinkings, people going this way and Yahweh and this way and another Yahweh. This brings me to say we are strange people, see, bro. We're driven by emotions, rumors, fears, and I also find out some need to be followers. That's right. They want to follow after someone else. One person looks up in the air, everybody want to look to see what they're looking at, not thinking that it's one of the things we were taught in school. Wanting others to make decisions for them and decide to lead them, like the page flippers that we've seen in the temple. The deceptive listeners, loud boasters, people that want to speak loudly to get you pay attention to them, even though they're wrong. Now, instead of you hearing them, everyone else does. Also, picking up one of the other 900 Bibles, that's right, I found out with today's date, there are over 900 English Bibles besides the King James Bible. Some you'll find they're teaching Sumerian scriptures or even going to hieroglyphics that they find in the pyramids or the tombs, saying these are where the Bible scriptures came from, the Sumerian or the pyramids. It's a good thing that we have leaders that teach the word of Yahweh and follow the teachings in the King James Bible. To some, they be leaders that's being taught themselves by believing in the word of Yahweh, we find out is wisdom and leadership. And to prove that point, one man Solomon in the Bible, he just asked for understanding in mind to lead his people. He didn't think he had enough understanding. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, let's see what he said. 12, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding mind, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Well, this is what happens when you reach out to Yahweh and you ask him for understanding or knowledge. He gives that to you in abundance. So what does this tell us, Yahweh? Yahweh the Son told us. In John 14, verse 26. 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So this book he left us is about Yahweh's word. It's a protocol. And the protocol of the Bible that we've been taught is the word came from the Father. It was given to the Son, to the minister spirits, to the seers, to the elders, to minister this word unto you. So stand strong, not driven by your emotions, fears, rumors. But be leaders in the word of Yahweh, not from other Bibles, but reach and grab the King James Bible. Ask not what your friends or false teachers or the one-eyed Satan can do for you, but ask what Yahweh's ministry can do to help deliver you up. So at this time, we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast. As usual, these are dark times, and we reach out to help those people. This is why we say a teacher can't learn from his students. But having knowledge, he gains experience by teaching. Now, a student can learn from a good teacher, possibly learning to teach the word of Yahuwah one day themselves. And this shows well in all the six camps that teach. Because we know we've all came to hear these things that most of us can hear. And some listening never understands even certain words this mention. But Yahuwah's ministry makes all this misunderstanding possible. We came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching that some looking, they can never find. And it's the misinformed that can do none of these things. Again, this is why the words of Yahuwah that is taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's word, connecting the Bible books as we usually do for your biblical education, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do all this because you have not. This is information that you came to seek, and now you have found that what you have sought and the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah, that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We generally don't have a class on Tuesday unless there's a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. Now, as mentioned before, the top part of the Sabbath is Friday, current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under a big lion, you're going to see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Any other device, you may see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it says to all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. Also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures of Leviticus 27, verse 30, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 8, and verse number 9, to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also, for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, another good note. Don't forget to check our calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. For our live program, this is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on your cell phone or your computer, and right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After clicking on, look for Voices of the True Israelite Tribe of Yahdah. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. This will allow you to listen to the broadcast live on your cell phone, your computer, just like others are listening on their cell phone. You'd be able to do all that. We also have a couple of email addresses. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh @gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdh@gmail.com. This will be also for biblical subjects or related topics. Now, we have a few numbers also you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is the international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, for those of you who maybe have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after clicking enter, look for the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Just choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, we're also now, after the normal broadcast, we're also transmitting this program simultaneously on Paltalk. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. This is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any questions about the online topics will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel Writing Shotgun. We are taking no comments off topic or more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, the Elder will block or restrict the misuse. And if brought up ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pell Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But remember, when you're trying to win that Bump the Gums contest, you're going to miss all of Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you. You have to remember, we are doing this to rehearse the Righteous Act, to learn the words of Yahuwah, as it tells us in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So we can keep these things in our remembrance. Keep your Bibles open. Possibly take notes. We cover quite a few topics in a three-hour time. I'll pass our program back to our Seer Israel and say, Alelu, Yahuwah.
Hello, Yahuwah there, Elder. We'll look forward to hearing you on the second part of your closing statements. And I was looking at a couple of memos that was coming in as you were speaking. It's very interesting on these memos coming in. But remember one thing, we're doing a brand new series. Now, this is a new series called Unlocking Part 2. And it's very important to those that have missed Part 1 is get that foundation, because we don't want to go back and reboot that Part 1. But that Part 1 lays a little groundwork down on this new series we're working with called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries of the Bible. By who? The Tribe of Yahuwah. Who is that? The six anointed camps of Voices of the True Israelites. So we unlocking some mysteries. We want to get right back to get with the people that came over here in a such time. But we cannot get there right now with this series, because we have to digress and lay a foundation to get there and see exactly to the peoples once they got here, because you're supposed to always remember the rules and regulations, your manuscript. And so if you ain't got the manuscript, and then you mess around and try to take it another way, you're going to come up with what he got on the table that don't happen to a people that the world say is extinct, don't exist anymore. It's because of one thing, the manuscript have been cast down. And what we want to do is reveal the manuscript to you again in writing. And I said it's very important to, like, check your telephones, your computers. We'll set some things that where you just can go quickly to your telephone or your computer to see if it's sold. And we love to for those to that want to help themselves and others, immediately go check out everything we say and see if it's so, and we'll tell you directly to it where it's at, and just go check it out and believe what you see as it unfolds. All right, this is part two of this brand new series called Unlocking Biblical Mysteries of the Bible. We're going to find Brother Yahyah Israel. We'll get back on it again. Remember one thing, if you get opportunity to review number part one, you need to have part one up on your belt big time, because as we go to part two, if you don't have part one, you know, and elders showed you soundly how to go back and pull up easily the parts, but you need part one to have that down pat. If you heard part one, you'll be all right as we go to part two. So we're going now. I'm going to find out. Brother Yahyah Israel, we're going to bring him in, and we'll get something going on for part number two. But part one had a lot of information that needs to be examined. Then when you go into part two, you can keep up, because we got a lot of brothers, even in class, they mess around and miss all the parts, then we got to digress in classes and going back over things. Now, you got to set some time off of your mighty one and to be up, because we can't keep going backwards. We got to keep going forward. So this series right here, put up that tape one and listen to it real carefully and take notes on it, and it puts you in good shape, no doubt about it. All right, so when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Yahyah Israel, Yahweh be with you, I see right.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel. I see you, Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Now, see, and when you're dealing with a new series, you got to cover all grounds. Because, see, we don't want to leave nobody behind. But I got to touch on something. By the same token, be pulling up the vision of Paul, chapter 30. Be pulling it up. But I'm going to touch on something that Elder did say, that we are estranged from the book, and we are estranged of a people. And what happened? I want to go back and see if anything in Scripture that can support what he just got through saying about being estranged. And what make you estranged? See, you got to go back in the Scriptures and see exactly what happened that caused you to be estranged. Then that, you know, so we got to examine everything. See, when we're not talking, we love to hear something, and we're a great note taker. That's one thing I give myself credit for, being a great note taker. I love to take notes. So when a person talking to me, you can bet one thing. The old seer always got a pad and pencil. He'll write down what you're saying, and then he'd be like a Berean. He'll go check it out and see if it's so. And, you know, so now examine something. Did we get us some Luke 12:12 already, Brother Yahyah Israel?
No, sir.
So we did get some Hallelujah, Yahweh, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
Now we see, we can't take nothing for granted. Why do we say Hallelujah, Yahweh? See, it's very important to understand. See, we know this job is a big job. So if we don't inform, especially the six anointed camp, don't be prepared to perform, why do you do what you do? Is you doing something because this way you have been? No, or is you doing something that the Bible supports? Now, Paul, let me throw a couple of jabs out before we get Luke 12:12. Paul was in 2 Corinthians, something happened to Paul, and then we'll get some Luke 12:12. See, something happened to Paul in the 12th chapter. And this is what happened to Paul. In the 12th chapter, this is take two of the brand new series called Unlocking Biblical Information by the Scripture. That's what Paul says over here in the 12th chapter. But I want to get right down to what he says and verse 3 and 4. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. What he said, Brother Yachdai Israel?
Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 3, verse number 4 reads. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. And you're such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Yahweh knoweth. Verse 4. And that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter.
He said, he know a man, but what was he, in the body when he heard what the man said to him, out of the body? He said, I don't know. He said, but I heard some words said to me, but it was unspeakable words. That is not lawful for a man to utter. So he heard some unspeakable words. So now I tell you right then and there, Paul is somebody worth listening to, because he heard some unspeakable words from a man that he don't know was he in the body. He don't know what this man was out of the body. He said, I can't tell. But he said, I heard some words. And I can't talk about it. But what I do know in Galatians chapter 1, he said, but what I do know is something in Galatians chapter 1. I know something. What he say he know in Galatians chapter 1, so that's why it's very important to hear what this man got to say. He says something in chapter 1, what he do know, and he's talking to Northern Kingdom in Galatians 1, verse number 15 and 16. And what he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse on what he do know.
The book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse number 15, verse 16 reads. Galatians 1, verse 15. But when it pleased Yahweh, who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by his mercy, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might teach him among the northern kingdom. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big word right there. And I got past, you look at WCC, just hit the button right there and there. What you mean? He says one thing, but see, that's the point we make it. You know, exactly what, see, by being learned as Brother Yahdiel, he automatically know this is Northern Kingdom, but they look at it and say, no, this means the heathen nations like us ourselves, this is when we come in to receive information. But see, we're not going to get off in that right now. We're going to leave that on tape. That's why I tell you plainly, if you miss a class, you miss a lot to really break that down. But this is not the series to do that, and we ain't going to trust that. Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what's going on there, Brother Yahdiel Israel.
The book of Luke chapter 12. Verse number 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say in that very same hour. And we're doing a series. This is part two. And we want to get back on this series of part two. Unlocking the Bible, because we clear that if you don't have the 11:3 of Psalms, you're going to be in a world of trouble. What is saying 11 verse 3 of the book of Psalms?
The book of Psalms chapter 11 verse number 3 reads, Psalm chapter 11 verse number 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous Torah instruction keepers do?
You can have all the know-how or want to know-how, but if you do not have your foundation, you will not be successful when someone say, well, where you get that from? And then you're going to say, well, I got it from. And but he'll tell you, what do it say in a success book? So you have to make sure you, in 2 and second book of, what is book called? Thessalonians. Make it the first book. Some it says that you must be prepared to do at all times. And 1 Thessalonians 5, you must be prepared at all times to be a 21 and 22. At all times, you got to be prepared to be a 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. What did it say there, Brother Yagda Israel?
Book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 21, verse 22 reads, the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse number 21. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 21 reads, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil.
He said, prove all things, and what he wants you to prove, what is good. That's what he wants you to prove. The precept word is now, is prove what's good. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17, see what that says. He said, prove what's good. He said, that's what you prove. See, you can't be proving things that's where a mortal man have said something, but that mortal man can bring anything to the table. You know, like anybody else can bring something to the table. So you got to prove what's good. And what's good is what the Almighty called good. What do the Almighty call good in 19 chapter, verse 16 and 17? What do we call good, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and verse 17 reads. Matthew 19, verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17. He said unto him, why callest you me good? There is none good but one, that is Yahweh the Father. But if you will enter into life, keep the Torah instruction. First five books.
Now see, that's plain right there. So now, so otherwise, if you plan on getting off into eternal life, now out of his mouth he says, what you have to do is keep the first five books. So if you sit around anybody tell you that that's done away with, then you just let him cut you out of eternal life, because he done said right there that if you, why call me good? Is nobody good, because he was in the body, but the Father. But if you're going to get off into this life, keep the first five books. And that's what the man just said. So now, if that's enough right there to play music for the rest of the night. But we're going to precept that too. Paul pulled that verse in Romans 7, 1 and 10 through 12. Now, Paul pulled that. Paul caught some, we're not going to read, Romans 1, verse 5, Paul was sent to scatter the northern kingdom. And Romans 1, verse 5 through 7. So Paul pulled that verse, and let's see how Paul put it in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Then we'll skip down to 10 through 12. Listen good to what Paul says by pulling that verse from what we just got through saying, 19, 16, and 17. What did it say there, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Romans, chapter 7, verse number 1. Verse number 10 through 12 reads, Book of Romans 7, verse number 1. Know ye not, brother, but I speak of them that know the Torah instructions, and that the Torah instruction have dominion over a man or woman as long as they live. Verse number 10. And the Torah instruction, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Verse 11. For sin taken occasion by the Torah instruction, commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Verse 12. Before the Torah instruction is righteous, the Torah instruction is righteous and good. Mm-hmm. So you hear the man just said, so he just said, now, I know, but he says, but see, this is the mystery right here. He said, I'm speaking to them that know the Torah instruction. Now, see, right now, right then and there, now that's big talk right there. See, this Bible is not a novel. And that's why I said, and now if you got take one to work with, you in business. So he's saying that I'm speaking to them that know the Torah instruction. So you hear what Paul just saying? Is you hearing what Paul just said? Just precept that and see exactly what he's talking about in 10, 1 and 2 of Romans. Same people. He said, I'm speaking to them that know the Torah instruction. So that means it is a people in Paul's days that know about the first five books. Not that it's done away with. Paul is speaking to somebody that know the Torah instruction. Now that's big talk when you just say it. So let's precept your Bible and see who was he talking to. Don't just precept your Bible. Study the precept. Very important to review tape one. Get that up on your belt. And what we have right now is tape two. Look what he mean by that in 1, 2, and 3. The 10th chapter, 1, 2, and 3. So who is he talking to? Who is he addressing this to? He's talking in the book of Romans. But the whole world teach the book of Romans is for each and all. See? But once you learn what Paul's saying, I'm speaking to them that know the Torah instruction. That's in Rome. And who was in Rome? We could have found out. 10, 1 and 2. 10, 1, 2, and 3. Watch what he say.
The book of Romans, chapter 10, verse number 1, 2, verse number 3 reads. Romans 10, verse number 1. Brothers, sisters, my mind desire and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Yahweh, and not according to knowledge. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness, Torah instruction, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the Torah instruction, righteousness of
Yahweh. Yeah. So when we read Ezekiel, I'm piggyback on what the elder put on the table about strange. Let me show you something, see, right? Exodus, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1 and 5. What do it say? Ezekiel 14, 1 and 5. I'm just piggybacking off of what the elder put on the table about this strange thing, this strange stuff. Let's see what's going on in Ezekiel 14, 1 and 5.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, verse number 1, verse number 5 reads. Ezekiel 14, verse number 1. They came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. Verse 5. That I may take the family of Israel and their own mind, because they are all estranged from me through their idols.
Read verse 1 again. What did Ezekiel say he did? What's the first thing Ezekiel said he did? What did he do?
Book of Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me.
You see that? Let's run to and find what that means. See, let's find out what that means. Now, the elders, now when the seer got there, he said, Some of them came before me and sit before me. And so the seer started talking to the elders about the children of Israel. They all estranged from the Almighty. So he was talking to them. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching right there. And we're going to precept that back into Samuel days to show you one thing about it. Until we line up with this Bible, and recognize the order of the protocol of this Bible,
We're just going to be spinning our wheels. Now, here come Samuel. And matter of fact, what did Samuel do anyway? Let's see the record of Samuel in 7, verse 15. What is his record in 7, verse 15? Yeah, Brother Yachdai Israel. Let's put up his resume on what he did in 7, verse 15.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse number 15, you read. First book of Samuel, chapter 7, verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. So in the 9th chapter, there, Brother Yahweh Israel, find what happened in verse 15. Talking about Samuel, what he did. What happened in the 9 and 9, verse number 15.
Book of 1 Samuel 9, verse 15. And Yahweh had told Samuel in the ear a day before.
Mm-hmm. So now Yahweh is talking. But who is he talking to? He's telling Samuel in his ear a day before. Now let's back up to when we had knowledge of things. Now this guy, he's said to be what he don't know. He's looking for one thing, but he's gonna run into another. Let's see what's going on with him in the 9th chapter, verse 6. And we'll take it down to verse number 10. Now listen to this real good, so we can be clear of why certain things are said and done. Because anything we say, we hold fast what's good. We prove all things, but we hold fast what's good. And we found out what good was. Did we find out what good was? And did we read that? That
yes,
7 verse 20, that Brother Yahdai Israel?
7 verse 20?
Yeah, 7 verse 20. Did we read that Romans? I know we read verse 1, 7, 1. But did we get down to 10 verse 12?
Yes, sir. We read 10 through 12, yeah.
Hallelujah. So if we read 10 through 12, so we know what's good. The good is the Torah instruction, first 5 books. So that's good. So at this time, they understood that. But we don't understand that now. Now, here's a man. Let's see, did he understand what was going on with his foundation in the 9th chapter, verse 6, down to verse 10? Let's see, what did he know, and this could be the first king of Israel. What did he know in the 9th chapter, verse 6, and take it down to verse 10?
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9. Verse number 6 through 10 reads. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 6. He said unto him, Behold, now there is in this city a man of Yahweh. He is an honorable man. All that he said cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, for eventually he can show us our way, and we should go. Verse number 7. Then says Saul to his servant, But behold, if we go, where shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring the man of Yahweh. What have we? Verse 8. And the servant answered Saul again, and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a sickle of silver. That will I give to the man of Yahweh to tell us our way. Verse number 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire Yahweh, thus he spake, Come, let us go to the seal. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seal. Verse 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hold that point before you reach that 10. So you see what he said? In four times, they knew exactly what to do. But today, we have a tendency to get away from the foundation of our teaching. And you know, in Malachi, he don't change in 3:6, 13 verse 8. He's saying yesterday forever. So that they understood if they was going to get a word from the Almighty Yahweh, what did they say they had to do in four times? I mean, foundational-wise, it was a word that they needed from Yahweh. What did the first king to be of Israel say to the servant that was with him? Exactly what we got to do. What did he say again in that verse again, verse 9?
The book of 1 Samuel 9, verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire Yahweh, does he speak up? Let us go to the field. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer.
Mm-hmm. And what is another definition of a seer in verse 10? Now we're going to paint the picture for we can be clear. What is another definition for a seer in verse 10?
Verse number 10. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come let us go. Saying, went unto the city where the man of Yahweh was.
Mm-hmm. And all that the man of Yahweh is going to do is what in 27? So this is where you find out what you're working with. All that the man of Yahweh is going to do what that we can read. Remember we read in that First Thessalonians chapter 21, 2? It says, hold fast what's good. Make sure you put on a table, and good is what you can read. Because, you know, so what he says in verse 27?
Verse number 27. As they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel the seer said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before. And he passed on. But stand you still a while, that I may show you the word of Yahweh.
And the man of Yahweh, only thing he's supposed to do is show the elders the word of Yahweh. That's it. Where he going, where he been, that's the last thing he's supposed to bring to the table. His job, when we read over there in that 14 verse 1, when the elders came and sit down before him, and then he told them, the elders, you know, these children of Israel, they're all estranged from the Almighty. So he was talking to them. So now back up to the ninth chapter and stay in that ninth chapter again, because Saul understood this information. So now, but the Almighty showed him some stuff, and we go on to verse 9, 17, down to verse 19, because we laying a foundation, because we don't want all these new listeners, like I say, this thing is packed down. Because when we say a thing, we can prove anything we say by what we present. Because we're going to only tell you what this book is saying. We all going to read together as we break down this part two series, which is going to be a long series, unlocking the biblical mysteries of the Bible. See, this is a mystery. But this mystery is time now for someone to step out from what they own and get find out what is this book really saying to help themselves and their people. So we're going to find out exactly what's going on when we read verse 17 down to verse 19. Now listen to this real good, 17 to 19. We're in 1 Samuel, and we know he was around for 40 years judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's see what was going on from 17 down to verse 19.
Book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 17 to 19 reads. Book of 1 Samuel 9, verse 17. With Samuel the seer saw Saul, Yahweh said unto him, behold the man whom I spake to thee of this. Behold the man of whom I spake of thee. This same shall reign over my people. Verse 18. And Saul drew near to Samuel the seer in the gate and said, tell me, I pray you, where the seer's house is. Number 19. Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and tell you all that is in your mind.
That's you hear that? You hear that kind of big talk in there? See, that's the kind of talk That's why you have to, you always evaluate a conversation in writing, and then you be like a Berean in 17 verse 11. You go check it out and see it yourself. That's how you operate. So now, so we clear, so when you hear words like the seers, the elders, and stuff that you hear, the, how leadership goes according to the Bible, take heed that we're not saying nothing or inventing anything that you can't read. So now we got him. Now let's find out. Remember, the elders came before him. Now let's see the elders in action in the 16th chapter of Samuel with the elders in action. Now, let's see exactly what's going on here, because Samuel is talking some good talk. And in 16 verse 2 down to verse number 5. Let's lay a little foundation right here in the 16th chapter, verse 2, down to verse 5. Listen good to this conversation that we all can read together. So we're going to make sure we all can read this together, and let's see what's going on. And what's going on, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse number 2 through 5 reads. Book of 1 Samuel, 16, verse number 2. Samuel the seer said, I cannot go. If Saul hear it, you will kill me. Yahweh said, take it half with thee. And say, I am come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Verse number 3. Call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. Verse number 4. Samuel the seer did that which Yahweh spake, and came to the Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, come and thou peacefully. Verse number 5. He said, peacefully, I have come to sacrifice unto Yahweh. Sanctify yourself, and come with me to the sacrifice. He sanctified Jesse and his son, and called them to the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happened in verse 4? He said, now he came to this town. Well, the seers was already, I mean, the elders was already there. And what was said, again, they was already there. And then he came to this town because Yahweh sent him there, because that's where he want that man to be the next king over Israel. But we want to know what was the elders doing when he came to that city. We want to know what were they doing in verse 4, and what question did they ask him in verse 4?
Book up. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 4. Samuel the seer did that which Yahweh spake, came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, come as you peaceably.
They asked him, hey, seer, what's going on here? How are you coming? You coming peacefully? He said, yeah, but whatever y'all doing, stop what you're doing and get with me. That's what he just say. Stop what you're doing and get with me. So they knew this in days of old. But today, we don't understand because we don't have our foundation. Back up to the 7th chapter one more time. And look what he said, Samuel said again. Samuel going to make a statement again. But listen to the people's what they respond to what he said. In the 7th chapter, verse 4, here comes Samuel. And Samuel got something to say, not that particular verse 3. Let's see what Samuel said, and we'll take it on down to verse number 9. So listen good, paint this picture, so we can be all clear about what we get ready to bring out in this series. But if you don't have your foundation, you might make a statement and say, well, why you? Why them? No, we're going to show you what the book is saying. Then you evaluate the book as it unfolds itself, and you tell me what these scriptures is saying as we read them together. In the 7th chapter, pick it at verse 3. Down to verse 9. Listen at the tenor of the conversation. Because this is not a novel. This is your foundational st- structure information that you must have. You got to have your foundation, but you got to know in writing what is your foundation. Let's see what it says up in 7th chapter, figure verse 3 down to verse 9. What it says, 3 down to verse 9?
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse number 3 to 9 reads. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse number 3. Samuel the seer spake unto all the family of Israel, saying, if you do return unto Yahweh with all your might, you put away the strange false Yahweh, Asherah, from among you, and prepare your mind unto Yahweh. Serve him only. He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. Verse number 4. Then the family of Israel did put away Balaam, Asherah, and serve Yahweh only. Verse 5. Samuel the seer said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto Yahweh. Verse 6. They gathered together to Mizpah and drew water, poured it out before Yahweh, fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against Yahweh. And Samuel the seer judged the family of Israel and Mizpah. Verse number 7. When the Philistines heard that the family of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the Yahweh of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the family of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Verse number 8. The family of Israel said to Samuel the seer, cease not to cry unto Yahweh, our Yahweh for us, that he was favored out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse number 9. Samuel the seer took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto Yahweh. Samuel the seer cried unto Yahweh of Israel, and Yahweh heard him.
But you keep looking at the word called the Lord there. I'm looking at the word called the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. So now, I just don't understand. Why is you saying the Lord saying? We see in our book the Lord said, the Lord said. How many letters is this Lord here now, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Four letters.
L-O-R-D. Now let's go and get historical biblical records out of why is that word in there. Let's go for those on this worldwide nation to understand one thing. When you set the foundation, we want to bring you along. So we're going to get historical documents back up. Why is you keep saying Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, and I'm looking at L-O-R-D, the Lord. Why is you keep saying that? Is there anything that you're working with that we can read? What can we read for you to look right at L-O-R-D and with no bones about it, see Y-H-W-H, Yahweh? What is you working with that we can read that, Brother Yahdai Israel? Come on.
I'm looking at a historical document entitled Four Letters, YHWH, and it reads, one thing that is clear is that the name is not the Lord. This title is substituted for the name almost 7,000 times. Translation of the Shemitic scriptures, looted word Hebrew. In other words, YHWH is removed 7,000 times, and the Lord is added 7,000 times. This manipulation, no matter how well intended, has to clearly lie for Yahweh's people to call on his name.
And so that is the reason you said that. So now we got evidence, records. And now I'm going to look at something where I'm going to take a little minute to look at. This is a start of documents facts where you can go in your computer and pull these series up. You can go and look at Upper Egypt. It's in Upper Egypt at that time. It
was around the Sudan, Upper Egypt. They got a solar inscription, S-O-L-E-B inscription. So write that name down, S-O-L-E-B inscription. You know, when you defeat somebody in a war or something, you have a tendency to write it down on your walls or what you did. You write it down on your walls what you have did, so you write it down on scripture-wise. So in the 1400s, the late 1500s to the 1400s, on scripture, it was this solar inscription. It's on there right now, so you just pull it up. In the 1400s, it's written in hieroglyphics. In hieroglyphics, you got the little upside down bench, and that means the land of the S-O-L Sobet, S-O-L-E-B, and that only means nomads. So it was written on that stone right today when you pull up on your computer around the late 1500s, early 1400s. That's the time when the children of Israel was coming up out of Egypt. And they wrote on the walls exactly, they couldn't call them a people because they were leaving out of Egypt, but they wrote on the wall on their hieroglyphics. And guess what they got in right? This is what they got on the stone right now. They got written on the stones right now, and what is written on the stone right now. Some is written on the stone right now. It says, the YHWH of Israel, written on the stone right now, and that stone dates back to the coming out of the children of Israel leaving in 1400-something B.C. in hieroglyphics. It's got it in the temple ruins of S-O-L-E-B, and that means nomad, the land of the nomads, and the nomads were the children of Israel that were scattered. But the only way he can describe these people by depicting them as a nomad, but they had no land, but they were leaving it, the land that it was in. But it said, and then this historian went over there in the 1950s. His name is Donald B. Redwell, and he got a book that he produced by taking a look at that. He said, in no doubt, what's written on the stone, I'm looking directly at it, is the name of the Israelites' God, YHWH. In the late 1500s, S-O-L-E-M in scriptures, this means a nomad, no doubt, that the ones they served and called on was YHWH. Is written on that stone. And you know, we love to talk about the stone of the Moabite stone at 840. Okay, that's fine. You talk about the Moabite stone. It's written on that, YHWH. But it got another stone that's written. It's called from the Amari. You put this in your computer, A-M-A-R-A, west of Egypt. 1300 B.C., what they got written on this stone, YHWH. A silver amulet was found in the 6th century. The 6th century. In Jerusalem. What was written on an amulet, the silver amulet, was found in the 6th century B.C.? Going back to the 6th century B.C., YHWH. On the Dead Sea Scrolls, what was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls? The name, YHWH. So you see, if you don't have your foundation, then everything will go with you. And another thing, we go on and read a verse in Isaiah 37, 1 through 8. Now, the children of Israel, a little bit down the road a piece, got a land called Lachish. They found the Lachish letter. It was in the Kish letter that was written, because that was the second most powerful city in the land of Southern Kingdom, called Lachish letter. The Lachish letter, we're going to read a little bit about that, and we'll start breaking it down as we lay this foundation. So we're going to show you hold fast was good, but only what you can read. So in the 37th chapter, let's talk about the Lachish letter. Let's read a little bit about the Lachish letter that was found in the 37th chapter of Isaiah. Lachish is a city. You put on there Lachish, L-A-K-E-I-S-H-A, the letter. It's a Lachish letter. Because see, it's time for these ones that study hollering this name and calling these other names. Listen, to understand this man's program, what he got written, he don't change on it. So this Lachish letter in Isaiah 37:1-8, let's talk about this Lachish letter. And this is a place, you go on your Google map and you put Jerusalem there, but it's Judah. Down the road a piece, you got another, the second most powerful city called Lachish. This is what the Israelites, we're going to talk about right now in 37:1-8. What happened in 37:1-8 there of Isaiah, Brother Yahshua Israel?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 37, verse number 1-8 reads, book of Isaiah, 37, verse number 1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the temple of Yahweh, verse number 2. He sent Elohim, who was over the household of Shipnot, the scribe, the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the seer, the son of Amos. Verse number 3. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the family are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Verse number 4. It may be Yahweh, we hear the words of Rashikah, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living Yahweh. We reprove the words which Yahweh have heard. Therefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Verse number 5. So the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah the seer. Verse 6. And Isaiah the seer said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, the same Yahweh, be not afraid of the word that thou hast heard, for with the servants of the king of Assyria hath blasphemed me. Verse 7. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Verse number 8. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah. For he had heard that he was departed from Lachish.
From Lachish, see? So they look there. So they go there, Lachish. So now in Lachish, archaeologists, they have dug up. Because see, one thing about it, you notice the whole world loves to just dig up stuff. They love to dig up stuff all the time, see, right? They always digging up some stuff. But they read the book. And they know the reason they digging up all this stuff, because they know it's not them. It's you, see, right? They digging up your book, your records. Digging up your books, your records. So how do they take credit for your books, your records? Because they dig up stuff that they read your book and say, look here, let's go over there. That site was messed up real good. But it's a Lachish letter, see, right? And at the time of Hezekiah and them, they was not speaking English. They was speaking they tongue. Put in your computer and tell me about something there. I need to find out something, because see, on the oldest stone, put in on your computer, just put this name and tell me what this name say. S-H-A-S-U. Put that word in, and I ain't gonna try to, we can't pronounce it, we ain't, you know, we get more calls on, you know, see, you know, you mispronounce a word. Listen, these words are translated out of a tongue, see, right? And by the time you got it, it might sound like anything. So you so particular about the tongue that's the last tongue on, the worst and bastard tongue it is English. And you worry about getting that right. But this right here, this word right here, S-H-A-S-U, it's going to tell you exactly what it means. What do that word mean there, Brother Yahshua Israel? S-H-A-S-U. What that word mean?
I'm looking at the word spell, S-H-A-S-U, Shasha, somewhere in that neighborhood, Shasha.
Mm-hmm. That's close enough. See all the ones that can, but all it means is a nomad. It's a nomad. You're talking about the nomads of Midian, Esau, and Arabic. You're talking about, that's all it means, the nomad. Do you see where it's on it, what it means, nomad there, Brother Yahshua Israel?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So now, everybody see what that word means is nomad. That means wanderers. Now, so they talk about the wanderers, see, right? Now, you know who the wanderers, you know the one that was in the wilderness and wandering around. So you're clear with the Bible who's the one that was called this. All it means a nomad, a wanderer. And in scripture there, from the time of Amenhotep, 1402 to 1382, they said that these nomads is in scripture. Matter of fact, now, I want to get a couple more in there, Brother Yahshua, because I'm going somewhere where it's going to take some time. And it's going to be a long series anyway, period. But I want to lay a few things out, because when we start popping that book real good, is the fact of the matter is, you, if you got your foundation on you, you won't be offended, because why we do what we do, you have the foundation about why we do what we do. Now, this nomad is the oldest, matter of fact, put in and just tell me what it say. The oldest name that the children of Israel called on. What's the oldest name? It's put in this, in there, the oldest name, or put in this way. What name that the children of Israel call on for God? Put that in there. We'll go another way. What name did the children of Israel call on for God? The children of Israel, see, right? You want the whole 12 tribes. What name did they call on for God? The children of Israel. What name did they call on for God? And what did it say there, Brother Yahshua Israel?
Said the name for God of the Israelites. YHWH.
Ain't that something? Because you see, Ray, he seems that we get to fumbling all around with this name. And this is what we don't come in trouble with. The oldest name that they got on record, even on scripture, is telling you that the children of Israel called on, you go around your telephone and put in, what is the oldest name the children of Israel called on for God? And he'll tell you. YHWH. They didn't put the vowel points on to the 6th century. So remember, if you are children of Israel, the name that your forefather called on was YHWH. Not Yah, not Yahweh, not Elohim, none of that. They call on one name. YHWH. And there it is. Now you go right to your phone, you know, pull your curtain back a little bit and just hit your phone again and say, what is the name that the ancient Israelites call on for God? And your phone will tell you yourself. It's YHWH. Okay, keep that in your mind. Now, we'll leave that right there for a minute. We'll leave that right there for a minute, Brother Yahdai Israel. And now I wanna go and look at something real. What time to get away? Second Ezra chapter 3 there. No, I don't want chapter 3 right now. I'm gonna get that later, maybe next week sometime. Let's go to Second Ezra chapter 1. And then we're gonna find out something in 1, then we're gonna come back and throw a tiny thing in. Let's go to Second Ezra chapter 1. We're going to 1 and pick up at 3, 5 through 7, 9 through 19. And we'll leave that like it is. Then we'll leave that like it is. So we're going to Second Ezra chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 3, 5 through 7, 9 through 19. And we'll leave it there as we deal with this part 2. Second Ezra, chapter 1, verse 3, 5 through 7, 9 through 19. What does it say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Because Second Ezra, chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, verse number 9 through 19 reads. Because Second Ezra, chapter 1. Verse number 3, the sons of Aaron of the tribe of Levi, which was captured in the land of the Medes, the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Verse number 4, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse number 5, go your way and show my people their sinful deeds, their family their wickedness, which they have done against me. They may tell their family and their children. Verse number 6. Because the sins of their father are increased in them. For they have forgotten me, and I have offered unto strange Yahweh. Verse 7. And not I, even he that brought them out of the land of Egypt, blew the word for Mizraim, the land of bondage, from the family, the land of bondage. They have provoked me unto wrath and despised my counsel. Verse number 9. How long shall I forbear them unto whom I have done so much good? Verse 10. Many kings have I destroyed for their sake, Pharaoh with his servant, and all his power have I smitten down. Verse 11. All the nations have I destroyed before them. In the east I have scattered the people of two provinces, even of Tyre and Sidon. Have slain all their enemies. Verse number 12. Speak thou therefore unto them, saying, the say of Yahweh. Verse 13. I led you through the sea, and in the beginning gave you a large and safe passage. I gave you Moses for a leader, and Aaron for a priest. Verse 14. I gave you light and a pillar of fire, and great wonders have I done among you. Yet have you forgotten me, say of Yahweh. Verse 15. The said the Almighty Yahweh, prayers were as a token for you. I gave you camp for your safeguard. Nevertheless, you murmured there. Verse 16. Triumph not in my name for the destruction of your enemy. But ever to this day do ye yet murmur. Verse 17. Where are the benefits that I have done for you when you were hungry and thirsty in the wilderness? Did you not cry unto me? Verse 18. Saying, why have thou brought us into this wilderness to kill us? It had been better for us to have served Mizraim, polluted the word Egypt, than to die in this wilderness. Verse 19. Then had I pity upon your mourning and gave you manna to eat. So you did eat angels' bread.
Mm-hmm.
Only there like it is that Brother Yahweh Israel, because we got a long way to go, and it's going to take a long, long, long time. Good stuff. So we can hold your voice for top part of the Sabbath day, where you can be ready to go when I put the eyeball on you. I'm going to be laying back in the cutting saying, you ready to go? Let's go. Let's get it on. All right, there, Brother Yahweh Israel. Close the paper, and we'll catch the eyeball, the top part of Saturday,
which closing
statement
is, come out. Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Love the way it's rolling out there. See Israel, a sea royal. Great work, King, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah, qua.
That's Brother Yahweh Israel. We're going to bring our elder back in and get his closing statements on take two of unlocking the biblical mysteries of the Bible. We're going to find our elder and bring it back in and get his closing statement, and we'll get back on part two. And like I said, it's very important to have part one up on your belt. And when we lay this thing out, and then you'll be very careful when you make statements, because the foundation is solid and it cannot be altered. And once we got our foundation up on us, then we'd be able to make clear talk from the throat. No problem. Let's bring our elder back in and get his closing statement. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock for your closing statement on tape two there. Come on.
God will bless you, Brother Sia, and thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. You know, generally, when we try to explain things in a commentary or either backing it up with scriptures, we know that, as it says in 2 Corinthians 11:5, 5 says, I suppose there was not a wit behind the very chief apostles. I may not be able to explain it the way that those that are well-versed explain it, but I generally get to the point. And I look at 2 Corinthians 11:6. 6 says, but I may be rude in speech, yet not of knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. This kind of reminds you of the Philip that was walking behind the chariot when he was told to attach himself to it. And those of us that read that scripture know why. In the book of Acts, 8:32, it says, 32, in the place of the scripture, what he read was this. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears. So he opened not his mouth. Because we find that most of the time when you try to win that bump the gums contest, it's not in order. Because that way that we have to go for righteousness is very narrow. And we look in 2 Extra, 7:7-8. 7 says, the entrance there is narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right and on the left hand, deep water. 8, and only one path between them both, even between the fire and the water, so small that there could only be one man go through there at once. So this lets you know that when there's a path to follow, we have to follow that path of righteousness. Because we've all came to hear things that most of us can hear. And some listening, they never understand, not on their own. But Yahweh's ministry makes this misunderstanding possible. Most came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching that some looking can never find. And it's the misinformed that can do none of these things, and that's again without proper teaching. This is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes all of this and more possible for the righteous. And so to help guide you through these dark times of misteachings, bad understanding in Christianity, we once again welcome, thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and opens to you always with new and exciting topics. Note that we always say from the King James Bible, first and foremost about Yahweh's words, connecting the Bible books for your biblical education. We also cover health and foods that you should eat, and also keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not. This is information that you came to seek, and you found out what you have sought in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadah. And the times that we're open for you is 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. Now, we do hold a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday from the current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. Use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line, enter this website address, www.tribeyhdh.com. After click enter, just under the big client, you'll see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you may see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto Yahuwah, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Well, I always remind everyone to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. Also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8, and verse 9. This is to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah alive. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, and radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. That will help keep you and your family and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We have a live program. The live program is only available during live broadcast time. To get there, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. You'll be right into the live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses. The first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh@gmail.com. This to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeo@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. Now, we're also using a few numbers that you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first would be our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, enter three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. After click enter, look and find the voices of the true Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. Just choose the program that you were late logging into, or actually any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal Broad Talk broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Pound Talk. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for the voices of the true Israelites, Tribe of Yadah. This is where Yahuwah's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any questions that's on the table. About to discuss topics will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel Riding Shotgun. We will be taking no comments off topic or more than two text questions answered at a time. Failure to follow the Righteous Act, the elder will consider to block or restrict misuse. And if Blog Talk ends before teaching time, our teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Yahweh be with you all. So at this particular time, we will turn our program back over to our seer as well, where our teaching and learning process can continue. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That's excellent. Again, when you pardon, that's good. So we want to make sure we cover all the bases of why we do what we do and all this good stuff. So we're clear now. So when you're looking at this Bible, you see, like I said, we got so many international countries in and everything that, and we know that Israel is supposed to be, according to Scripture, an every nation upon the sun. So somebody going to hear what it needs to hear. But now you're clear about when you see the word Lord in your Bible, I don't care where you see it at, in the original Semitic text, it read YHWH. So be clear about that. So when, and we found out through even outside of your books on the ancient stones, we gave you the reference on it. So if you stepped out and missed a little bit, go back over it. The reference showing you exactly that this is not hidden. It is here because we need to now broaden our understanding that YHWH was on, it was everywhere. And they, even I'm going back to that Lachish letter again, and we find out it was a town called Lachish. But I want to go back to that letter that Hezekiah was reading, a letter that they found the letter of Lachish. And you go on your Google map and you find out that Judah, what they call Jerusalem, and Lachish was down the road a piece. And it was a letter to read. And now we see now why we use, when you see the word Lord in your Bible or God, in large or small capital letters, the original Semitic word was YHWH. And then you go on your computer and put in the word called Semitic, and it'll tell you on your phone how many dialects is up under Semitic. Hebrew, Aramaic, all the name that you, is up under Semitic. The children of Israel call on one name, YHWH. So if you're a children of Israel, you got one name to call on if you're going to go by the Bible. You're going by the Bible, it's one name once the evidence is unfolded. So we're going to see if we find the Israel brain, and we'll see if we get back with that Lachish letter. See, the Lachish letter, what we just read in the 37th chapter, it was a city, a great big spot. It was right outside. It was called the Lachish letter. And that Lachish letter, that letter is very important. Because that letter said some proper things. In that letter, we're going to read what Hezekiah did and what happened. Let's see if we find Sister G is ready and bring in. Let's see what she has. Let's see if we meet our sister. Sister G is real. Sister G is real. Yahweh be to that seed right.
Yahweh bless you, seer Israel, seer royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right there, Sister G. Israel. We want to go back, and this is part two, but we want to lay it out, lay this foundation where the point that it's easy to just go on your telephone now and look up at what we're saying. So we read about Lachish. Here's the Lachish letter. You go on your computer, you put that Lachish letter. But this is the letter they found in 2 Kings 19, 15. Let's go to 2 Kings, and I'm going to find out what was in that letter that was that they found that was written by that when he went to find the old seer. They found the old seer. They got the hand on the old seer and I forgot what was said then at 1-8. We'll leave that like it is, but we come back to now. I tell you what. I want to come back to that 37th chapter again. I need to get a little bit more because he did something very important. Now, I want to go back and read exactly what happened, what he says in 37, verse 2. Now, listen to this right here in Isaiah 37, verse 2. I want to hear this right here in 37, verse 2. Because see, we all can follow this together. Let's see what it says in 37, verse 2 of the book of Isaiah. What it says to Israel?
Isaiah chapter 37, verse 2. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the seer, the son of Amos.
Ain't that something? Now you hear that? So you see what it is? See, they knew then when the king knew that it was trouble brewing, but the king knew exactly what he had to do, and he sent all the ones that was around him, was, you know, the elders and the priests, everybody was around. He said, "Look, y'all go find Isaiah the seer." That's what you do. Is that what you do? Now, Isaiah the seer gonna make a statement. Let's see what he said in verse 6. Let's see what verse 5 and 6 say. I want to analyze something in verse 5 and 6. What it says in 37, verse 5 and 6.
Verses 5 and 6. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. 6. And Isaiah said unto them, "Thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith Yahweh, be not afraid of the words that you have heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me."
He said, "Look here, you go back and tell that old king that don't worry about all that old good talk." And Hezekiah, you know, he had to receive something in his hand, and let's talk about it in verse 14. And he's going to talk some good talk. Let's read a little bit and see what's going on. Pick up in verse 14. We'll read down until we get our point. Because, see, Hezekiah got in the flush. And he starts saying, "Well, you know, this king, this is a rough man." So now Hezekiah got in the flush. Let's read a little bit what happened in verse 14. Let's read a little bit down to get our point. This might be very interesting. What it say? Pick up verse 14 and just keep on reading down to get our point. What it say?
14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the temple of Yahweh and spread it before Yahweh. 15. And Hezekiah prayed unto Yahweh, saying, 16. O Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, you are Yahweh, even you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. 17. Incline your ear, O Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, O Yahweh, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living Yahweh. 18. Of a truth, Yahweh, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. 19. And have cast their false Yahwehs into the fire, for they were no Yahwehs, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. 20. Now, therefore, O Yahweh, our Yahweh, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Yahweh, even you only. 21.
Hold that point right there. Now, listen. Now, you see, he's praying good. I mean, you just paint the picture. He's praying good. But now, what is the precept to that, what he's doing? Let's go to 37, verse 15 and come right back. Sirach 37, 15. But what's the precept of that? Now, he's praying good. Now, that's a great thing. He's praying good. He spread the letter at the temple of Yahuwah. See, Yahuwah, but you, this been a bad man right here. This man right here, he undone some things. You heard what his right-hand man said, Rapakim said, who have delivered anybody from our hand? So there was a lot of good puffed up talking going on real good. So that he said now of a truth. He spread the letter of a truth. But look what it says in the 37th chapter of Sirach, verse 15. Listen what this seer pulling that verse said. What he said in 37:15?
Sirach, chapter 37, verse 15. And above all this, pray to the Most High that he will direct your way in truth.
You see that? So that's a great thing. Always pray to Yahuwah. There's no question about it. He will direct your way in the truth. See, that's the greatest mystery in understanding the Bible and teaching. You always pray to Yahuwah, then he'll direct your way. Now, we're coming back to the letter. Let's see what happened. Now, he laid the letter out real plain, and he had he was sweating big time. Let's see what happened in verse 21. Let's read a little bit.
Isaiah chapter 37, verse 21. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith Yahuwah of Israel, whereas you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria. 22. This is the word which...
Hold that point. Hold that point right there. You hear? Wait a minute. The seer was nowhere around. How could he make a statement like that? What was going on behind closed doors? You see that seer right? Did you catch that? Did you see? He was praying big time to the temple of Yahuwah, but Isaiah the seer was nowhere around. How did he know that? How did the seer know what he was doing? There you go right there, seer right here. Let's find out how did he know what he was doing. Hold that point right there. Let's go to back of the second Kings. Let's find out what's going on here. So you got to paint all the pictures right now. Can't take nothing for granted. Let's paint this picture because we got to make sure we start talking right. We got to talk right. We got to tell the Bible about how it works. We're going to 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's see how this thing works. And 2 Kings chapter 6, what does it say in verse 12?
2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 12. And one of his servants said, none, my Yahuwah, O king, but Isaiah the seer that is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words that you speakest in your bedchamber.
Mm-hmm. And you remember Hezekiah was praying that letter out, so he was, he had one of the servants wiping his forehead, no doubt about it. Now, let's go down a little further and see what happened in verse 16 and 17, what got to happen. Find out what got to happen in verse 16 and 17. Listen to this.
Verse 16 through 17. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. 17. And Isaiah prayed and said, Yahuwah, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahuwah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Isaiah.
Elisha, that's Elisha. So we found out right now. You see what's going on here? So now the same thing Hezekiah was doing. He was praying. And like I said again, that's the greatest thing to do is pray. But then you got to understand the protocol of praying. You're supposed to always pray, but the Bible got a protocol, and you read Isaiah was nowhere around. Spread the letter. He said, I heard about you spreading your letter out. But now I'm going to give you the answer because you praying to Yahweh himself is not going to say jack to Hezekiah the king because that's out of protocol. And once we recognize when we out of protocol according to the Bible, then we get into protocol, then what would happen for you in verse 17? This would have happened for you in 17. In verse 17, what would happen?
And Elisha prayed and said, Yahweh, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
So you see that? So you see, all he seen was like we see today. We see we ain't got no hope. We see now that all the 17 nations is delivering us up in grand style. Yeah, they doing me up in grand style because it's some information that been hid from you. That's the reason they've been over there in all the cities digging, and they got your information, but they never tell you your information. But we come and show you what this Bible's saying and paint the picture. The reason why you in captivity, because you ain't got your foundation is not right. See, your foundation is not right. And once your foundation is right, then you say the right thing, then Yahweh can respond to you. Now, and we going back to Isaiah, now we heard him praying real good. Then here comes the seer, and he sent a message back to Hezekiah the king, saying, what again? We read, he said, tell that old king, old Sennacherib, verse 22. And look what he say. Now, this is Isaiah writing back to tell Hezekiah, you might get up off your knees now and listen to what I got to say to what's going to happen to this old big mouth king of Sennacherib and this old one of Rapsakim with all them threatened words. What he say in verse 22? Let's read a little bit, and he's going to talk some good talk, and we need to hear some of his good talk that we all can read together. Take it to verse 22.
Isaiah chapter 37, verse 22. This is the word which Yahweh has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, polluted city of David, has despised you and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem, polluted for Yahweh, Judah, has shaken her head at you. 23. Whom has you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom has you exalted your voice and lifted up your eyes on high, even against the righteous one of Israel? 24. By your servants has you reproached Yah and has said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. And I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof. And I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. 25. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. 26. Has you not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that you shouldest be to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. 27. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as the corn blasted before it be grown. 28. 28. I know your abode.
Hold up on a minute for time's sake. Because, like I said, we'll do a lot of this in class. Let's get down to verse 33. Now you remember, this is Isaiah writing a letter back telling Hezekiah what the Almighty has said. Now, remember, Hezekiah is writing a letter back to him. He didn't come himself, so he said, you might as well straighten up. Verse 33. Let's read exactly what happened. Pick up verse 33 now. Let's read down a little bit.
33. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it.
Go ahead.
34. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith Yahweh. 35. For I will defend the city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. 36. Then the ministering spirit of Yahweh went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses.
37.
So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. 38. And it came to pass as he was...
Hold on. I don't need 38. Now, you see? Did you see what's going on here? So, he said, the Almighty says, you go tell Isaiah, you get there and tell that old king that this man is not going to even shoot an arrow. He sent one business spirit down there and killed 180,000 of them. Everybody was dead. The king went on back home to Nineveh. And then you'll find out in the process of time that the kids killed him. See, Yahweh got all the power. That's the point we're trying to make it. And once we recognize that this man got all the power, and we start looking at things by that one-eyed Satan and look at this thing by this Bible, then you're going to see a change when you find out the order of how this thing works. As long as you feel that it works the way your mind tells you it's working, that's going to be your hold-up. So that's how it works, C-Ray. So now, you're supposed to pray to Yahweh and holler as loud as you can. Then when Yahweh sends the information to you, take the correction on how it works for Yahweh to intervene. Now, we want to go and get a couple more in there, and we go on and find out one thing by going to the third chapter of the book called Second Ezra. Listen real good what he got written in Second Ezra chapter 3, and look at verse 11, 3:11, 23-29, and 37. Listen good, but we can to be laying the foundation. Cause when we get back to where we got to get to running, because we have some international calls, and they got a problem with the name, because they don't heard many names. But we'll show you soundly how to research the oldest record in the Bible or out the Bible, four letters, and dated back to the 1400s, or time the children of Israel leaving Egypt. They had it written about a nomad people leaving. But what they leaving with is a name called YHWH, leaving in the 1400s. So we gave you all the information to go on your computer and pull up. By the time the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they had a name. And they got it written on the stone, and it's on the stone as we speak right now, in the 1400s, in the 1300s, in the 600s. And they got one name written every time. YHWH. It's on the stone. Keep that in your mind. Now, let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, 23, down to verse 29 and verse 37. Listen to this right here. Listen to this in 2 Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. Listen to what he says here in 3:11. What he says in Israel.
Second Ezra, chapter 3, verses 11, 23 through 29, and verse 37. 37, it goes to 36.
Okay, all right. But you just get down to verse 3:11 and take it down to 3:23-27, 29. That's good enough.
Second Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. Nevertheless, one of them, you leftists, namely Noah, was with his household, of whom came all righteous men. 23. So the time passed away, and the years were brought to an end. Then did you raise you up a servant called David. 24. Whom you commandest to build a city unto your name, and to offer incense and oblations unto you therein. 25. When this was done many years, then they had inhabited the city. Then they that inhabited the city forsook you. 26. And in all things did even as Adam and all his generations had done, for they also had a wicked mind. 27. And so you gave it your city over into the hands of your enemies. 28. Are their deeds then as better, any better, that inhabited Babylon, that they should therefore have the dominion over the city of David, Judah? 29. For when I came thither and had seen impieties without number, then my soul saw many evildoers in this 30th year, so that my mind failed me. 36.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's saying, now, we're going to read a little bit more. We're going to read straight down a little bit more. Now, you see what he's saying? So he's troubled. He's over in captivity in Nineveh. He said, I've been over here about 30 years, and is these people greater than we? He said, what's really going on here? I mean, so now the seer is talking. He won't know what. Is these people greater? What's going on here? So now he's talking. Let's see what kind of answer you get. Now pick up verse 30. We'll run this right on out in verse 30. Pick up verse 30 and find out. Now he's talking. The seer doing the talking. He want to know about the concern of the children of Israel. Is it another nation better than us? Verse 30 and all the way down. Come on.
30. For I have seen how you suffers them sinning, and has spared wicked doers, and has destroyed your people, and has preserved your enemies, and has not signified it. 31. I do not remember how this way may be left. Are they then of Babylon better than they of city of David, Judah? 32. Or is there any other people that knoweth you besides Israel? Or what generation has so believed your covenants as Israel? 33. And yet their reward appeareth not, and their labor has no fruit. For I have gone here and there through the nations, and I see that they flow in wealth and think not upon your Torah instructions. 34. Weigh you therefore our wickedness now in the balance, and theirs also, that dwell in the world. And so shall your name nowhere be found but in Israel. 35. Or when was it that they which dwell upon the earth have not sinned in your sight? Or what people have so kept your Torah instructions? 36. You shall find that Israel by name has kept your precepts, but not the nations.
So he said, you might find an individual somewhere, but it ain't a nation that kept that the precepts of Yahuwah. It's not a nation. So when we put all our time in these other nations, he said, now, you can go anywhere and look. It's not a nation. You might have a couple of strails, around, but it's no nation. So it's no nation we supposed to be looking up to but the nation of Israel, because that's the only nation on record have kept what this man got on the table. They all fell away from it. That's true. But it's time now to wake up and come back to it. But he says it's not a nation nowhere have kept the Torah instruction of a couple of individuals. So ain't no nation supposed to have their mouth going once you show them the record when it come down to the Almighty's bidding. So that's the point we're trying to bring, and that's why tape one lays it out, showing you that we, as a people, we watching that one eye Satan, and we're not looking at what the record is to how this man can intervene back into our life, but it's not going to intervene back into our life until we come back to the record and respond to the action. Now we look at Zephaniah 1:6-9 and close the statement. We get Zephaniah 1:6-9. Because remember, we read a statement, what the elder said in the 14th chapter. He made a statement showing you that he called the elders before me. He said, the reason why you were in trouble, because they are strange from me. So now the seer has the message to tell them, the elders in the 14th chapter, because the elders' job is to go back to the fathers. The fathers' job is to go back to the mothers. The mothers take it back to the children. He said, y'all are strange for me. That means when I look at y'all, I can't see you from the pages of the book. So the seer's job is to get to the elders and tell them, listen, the reason why we're in trouble because you all are strange from him. Everything he tell you the way, this is the way, we go opposite of the way. Now you go a case in point. Now we're gonna look at that Zephaniah 1:6-9 in the closing statement after Jezreel. We catch you tomorrow at 7:30. What it said, Zephaniah 1:6-9. See, this is where you are strange from him that we can read. 1:6-9 says what?
Zephaniah chapter 1:6-9. The word of Yahuwah, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah,
yes,
in the
verse
days
eight.
Of Josiah.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh,
that's good. So the word came to Zephaniah. Hold on a minute. Hold on, Mrs. G. Now, the word came to, again, the Zechariah. So you see, can you hear in the pattern how the word goes? The word came to the seer first. Now, his job was to go find the elders. Elders go find the fathers. The fathers go find the mothers. The mothers go find the children. That's how it works. Now, let's see what the elders got to take to the fathers of Israel to get to the mothers and the children, and verse 6 down to verse 9. Verse 6 down to verse 9 says what?
And them that are turned back from Yahuwah, and those that have not sought Yahuwah, nor inquired for him. 7. Hold your peace at the presence of Yahuwah, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. For Yahweh has prepared a sacrifice. He has bid his guest. 8. And it shall come to pass in the day of Yahweh's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. 9. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses, violence and deceit.
So he's saying it's going to come a day he's going to punish those that got on strange apparel. So now, strange apparel is what his dress code he gave you in the Bible. He gave you a dress code. The seer is telling the elders to go tell the fathers, the mothers, to get to the children. If you caught with strange apparel on, you're going to be punished and you're ready for yourself. So now, strange apparel. You know what strange apparel is, see, right? And we're not reading it, but in 1537 through 40, children of Israel was given a dress code. Fringes. If you don't have fringes on, you have what you call strange apparel walking around. He says, if I catch you without your fringes, I'm going to punish you. And it's right there, 1:6-9. So that's why you're strange to them. You can't recognize them. You look like the other nations. No fringes. To see Israel. We'll leave it like that. We'll get back on it tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. What your closing statement is when the clock come up.
Thank you, Seer Israel, for connecting the books. And Seer Royal, don't be in the congregation of the dead. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, that's Sister G Israel. Back on the airwaves again tomorrow at 7:30, but we're going to find the mothers. And we're going to look for the mothers out of Camp 1, and they're going to... And whatever Yahweh put on them to give you a thought for a nice lesson, we're going to look for the mothers. And they're going to give you what they think this national audience needs to hear. The mothers. In this brand new series, we're going to see if we find what do the mothers got to say to this national audience. We're going to find Mother Z. And when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1, there was mothers in all the camps. But we're talking about Camp 1 right now. Three mothers out of Camp 1. So we're going to look at Mother Z. And when you meet the mothers with a loud voice, you said, Mother Z, Yahweh be there, see you right.
Yahweh bless and keep you, see Israel, Arroyo see. And I'm just going to, Hallelujah, Yahweh. I'm just going to, well, I know you already been teaching about the Torah instruction, and I'm just going to read a little bit of Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. My son, forsake not my Torah instruction, but let thy mind keep my Torah instruction too. But the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about their neck. Write them upon the tables of their mind. It's important for us to keep the Torah instruction. And that's all I have to say tonight. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
That's Mother Z coming out of Camp 1. So we want to get the thoughts of the mothers, whatever they want to tell this national audience on. Find the mothers and whatever thought that they want to tell you. And see, the reason, like I said again, we have lost our foundation. That's why I was there again, out of Tape 1. It's so important to go over to Tape 1. It'll tie in where we're coming from in Tape 2. You got to have your foundation, but you got to recognize what Yahweh has set up, and it's not going to be broken. So we're going to find Mother E, and we're going to find out what's her thoughts to tell this national audience, what kind of thoughts she has to tell this national audience. So when you meet the Moses out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, Mother E, Yahweh bless you, see you, right?
Yahweh bless you, Israel. See you, Lord. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Now, Mother E, the national audience is all ears. What words you want to tell and give some words of wisdom to this national audience? You on the clock, come on.
Okay, I'm going to read Psalm out of Psalms 37, and I'm going to read like verse 1, 2, 9, 11, 22, 29, and 30. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thus envious against the work of iniquitous sin, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Verse 34. Wait on Yahweh and keep his ways, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, thus shall see it. So my thoughts on that is we have to wait on Yahweh. We can't just go think we can do something without understanding. So we have to get the understanding before we can try to do anything. So what we have to do is wait on Yahweh, and he'll give us the understanding. And don't be upset when the wicked is doing stuff wrong. Just thank on Yahweh and pray for them that they may understand. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. That was all about C-Ray. So, when you take one and you put it with two, you really be working with something, because one thing about it is time to recognize that Yahweh have created things that's a protocol. And once we recognize that these young women, middle-aged women, they can be helped, but they got to seek counseling for those that understand this is the way. See, when we start doing our own thing, our self-defense, we get caught up every time, and it's going to remain that way. And Yahweh is going to keep it that way until you understand one thing. He got counselors to show you what you need to know. So we'll leave it like that, and we're going to find one more Mother D of Israel, and we'll see what she want to tell this national audience, another mother out of Camp 1. So we're going to bring Mother D of Israel in. And when you meet the mothers with a loud voice, you say, Mother D of Israel. Yahweh bless you, C. Ray.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of C. Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Now, to win souls or to give some instructions, Mother D of Israel, what would you like to tell this national audience? And give them that microphone and tell them what you... it's put on you to tell them about whatever it is you on the clock come out.
Revelations chapter 1, verses 1. The revelation of Yahuwah the Son, which Yahuwah the Father gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his ministering spirit unto his servant John. Okay, that this is the protocol. Now I want to read how our Yahuwah look like us. Okay, and verse 12. Turn to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girded about the path with a golden girdle. 14. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So Yahuwah the Son is not that red man, blue eye, blonde hair. He's just like us. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Let's see. We're calling this network 6 nights a week for one reason. We're doing a brand new series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries of the Bible. The tribe of Yahdar is going to do it. And who is that? The six anointed camps. And who is that? The voices of the true Israelites. We're going to unlock this book to you in writing. We're going to give you some things that's in writing, and we prayerfully that you will always go and examine what we're saying. Now, if you examine what we're saying, you would not be always tangle up. And we'll give you a case in point in a minute. So some things we got to know. We must know. So what we're going to do, Mother Dear of Israel, it's something that we need to know that is written. And we're going to take a look at it in 2 Israel chapter 5. We're going to take a look at something that's written, Mother Dear of Israel, in 2 Israel chapter 5. We want to see what is written that we can read in 2 Israel chapter 5, verse 21 down to verse 32. I want you to listen to this real good. In 2 Israel chapter 5, verse 21 down to verse number 32 there, Mother D. F. Israel, we're going to take a look at something. Because, see, once we find out, like Mother just said, the image in our head is not the right image in our head. Can't make us beautiful. It's not what makes us beautiful. Matter of fact, hold that point. Mother E, back up to the book of the Wisdom of Solomon, 13, verse 3. See, what we think make us beautiful is totally opposite what Yahuwah says makes us beautiful. Let's get one verse real quick there, Mother E, before Mother D of Israel reads that. Let's see exactly what Yahuwah calls beauty in the 13th chapter of the Wisdom of Solomon, verse 3. What do he call beauty? You know, the one that made the heaven and earth. What do he call beauty? 13, verse 3. What did he say there, Mother E?
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13, verse 3. If whose beauty, if they, being a lion, took them to be Yahuwah, let them know how much better the Yahuwah of them is, for the first author of beauty has created them.
So the first author of beauty have created you, the one that he designed you, created you, and he said one. What he said, Mother E? He made one statement, and this is what he said about these people. He put the author of beauty on them, and he said something in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah about these people. See, we want to show you what the man's saying about you. Your job. Your job is to do what in Isaiah 43:21. This is what he's saying to you.
Okay.
Since he's the first author of beauty, he's talking to you, and listen what he told Isaiah the seer to write, to get it to the elders. Elders get to the fathers. Fathers get to the mothers, and the mothers get to the children. Look what he says in one verse, 43:21.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise.
Ain't that something? Here the man said, your only duty that he created you for was to show forth my praise. He's the first author of beauty. So if this man's the first author of beauty, now you know your position, what you're going to be doing. Showing forth his praise. Don't worry about your own. Worry about what he say. Oh, my goodness. Mother D up Israel, what you reading? You on the clock. Come on.
Second Ezra, chapter 5, verse
21 to 32. Listen to this conversation right here about the first author of beauty, this people I formed for myself. Look what he told Ezra to tell the elders about these people. Listen to what the writing say. We only going to comment after we hear it read. What it say?
Second Ezra, chapter 5, verses 21 to 32. Verse 21. And after 7 days, so it was that through the thought of my mind were very gracious unto me again. 22. And my soul recovered spirit of understanding, and I began to talk with the Most High again. 23. And said, O Yahweh, that bearest root of every wood of the earth and of all the trees thereof, thou hast chosen you one only vine. 24. And of all land of the whole world, thou hast chosen you one pit, and of all the flowers thereof, one lily. 25. And of all the depth of the, thou hast filled thee one river, and of all the built cities, thou hast hallowed Yahdai Judah unto yourself. 26. And of all the fowls thou hast created, you hast named the one dove, and of all the cattle that are made, thou hast provided you one sheep. 27. And among all the multitude of peoples, thou hast guided thee one people. And unto this people whom thou lovest, thou gave a Torah instruction that is approved of all. 28. And now, O Yahweh, why hast thou given this one people over unto many, and upon the one root hast thou prepared others? And why hast thou scattered your only one people among many? 29. And and they which did gainsay your people, your promise, and believe not your covenant, have trodden them down. 30. If thou didst so much hate your people, yet shouldest thou punish them with thine own hand. 31. Now when I had spoken these words, the ministering spirit that came to me the night after was sent unto me. Okay, 32. And said unto me, hear me, and I will instruct you. Hearken, listen to the things that I say, and I shall tell you more.
Yep. He said, okay, Ezra, you want to know? You've done so much great things for these people. Why are we in the condition we're in today? He said, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just listen to me? We'll tell you why. Back in the 2:1, read 2 verse 1. Same book, 2 Ezra 2:1. He's going to tell you why. He said, I'm going to tell you why, Ezra. He said, well, you want to know why these people's in bad condition? And you love these people so much? He said, what did he say in 2 verse 1?
2 Ezra chapter 2 verse 1 says, Yahweh, I brought this people out of bondage, and I gave them my Torah instruction by my servant, the seer, whom they would not hear, but despise my counsel.
You see that? So you see the reason why you're in condition? He said, when I had something to say, I got it to the seer. But you despise what the seer is telling you. He said, just as you was then, and you the same way now. He said, that's how I work. Telling you now how he works. Read that again 2:1 more time. See, listen to how he works. See, anytime you start hearing conversation based upon, I'm waiting on him to say something. Now, it don't work like that. Listen to what he said. Do you believe what he said he did? What did he say he did in 2:1?
2 Ezra chapter 2, verse 1. Thus says Yahweh, I brought this people out of bondage, and I gave them my Torah instruction by my servant, the seer, whom they would not hear, but despise my counsel.
Now, where did they pull that from? Now, back in the 32 verse 7, and Mother, he had me the book of Numbers, chapter 15, 37, down to verse 40. Waiting on me. So you see, the reason you in trouble, because you despise the messenger, and Yahweh don't change how you to you. The protocol will never change. But we despise when you hear the message. In this brand new series called Unlocking the Biblical Bible, the reason why we're in trouble today, because we won't listen to the order Yahweh set up. He's not going to change his order. Here is his order that Ezra pulled in 32 verse 7. What did he say that? Yes, ma'am. What did he pull? 32 verse 7.
Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your fathers, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you.
The elder's job is to tell you. He's supposed to pull the father to the side and tell them exactly what to do. Not sit and sugarcoat anything. The reason we in captivity, because the fathers, they number one duty is to be a father, you got to first find the elder. And the elder will instruct you. Then once you got it, you go back and you tell your wife what's going on, you better ask. And our job is to tell the children what to be doing. It ain't about sugarcoating it. It's tell them. Is that what we just got to read? Read again, 32 verse 7. Let's see what he says exactly got to be done in 32 verse 7.
Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your fathers, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you.
Yeah. Fathers, get to the elders, and they will tell you. When you got it, get to that better half and tell her this is the way it is. Better half, get to them children and tell them what this thing gonna be about. Tell them, not sugarcoat anything. Tell them what? Mother E, tell them what? 15, 37 through 40. Tell them what?
Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 37 through 40. Verse 37. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue. 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the Torah instructions of the Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whore. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all the Torah instructions and be righteous unto Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Then what would happen after that in 121, Mother E? What would happen in Matthew 121 when you're doing Bible, what happens in Matthew 121? Let's talk about the Matthew 121 for a minute. What's written in Matthew 121? Mother E, Matthew 121. What's written there?
The book of Matthew. Chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahweh the Son, for he shall save his people from their sins.
You see what he's saying? So he was already prophesied that a son will be given to you, and he's going to save you from being a sinner. He's going to save you. Now swing to Acts chapter 8, verse 29 out of verse 31. Let's take a look at this. Acts chapter 8, Mother E. And we're going to look at 29 and 31. So we got to first bring the order back to get Yahweh to intervene. Right now you are estranged from him. He can't recognize you because the Father is not telling the better half the way it's supposed to be. The better half is not telling the children the way it's gonna be. Huh? Everybody, oh, whoa, whatever you feel like you wanna do, do it. And that's why we in captivity, see, right? Time going up. Acts chapter 8, 29 to 31, what it say? Mother.
Acts chapter 8, 29 to 31. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. So, verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand what thou readest? Verse 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him.
Mm-hmm. So you see, we hear the best of them, they always read. But they best of them read now, Mother D.F. Israel. But they read from the perspective, and they always, I'm always in my Bible. But in 2 Timothy, Mother D.F. Israel, what it said in 3 verse 7, I'm always in my Bible. What you doing? I'll read my Bible. But then, what about 2 Timothy 3 verse 7?
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7.
Yes, ma'am. What does it say?
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, ever learning, but never can come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm always, oh, yeah. I won't know about this. I won't know about this. I won't know about that. But ever learning, but never come to the knowledge of the truth for the Almighty to intervene. You got to come to the knowledge of the truth. We see you read, but you got to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm.
That's what he's saying. Now, back up to Isaiah. Because this was Yahweh have did in Isaiah 37, that Mother Eve. Mother D.F. Israel. Make it Mother D.F. Israel. What it says in the 37th chapter, verse 31 and 32, Mother D.F. Israel. What do it say is, see, we ever learn it, but we just will not come to the knowledge of the truth. The key word is the truth. Hold that form right there. Hold that all up. No spirits, hold that up. Don't even worry about that. What is the truth? Go to 832 of St. John and Mother D.F. Israel, back to 17:17, back to back.
Amen.
Then Mother E. have me, Isaiah 37:31-32, waiting on me. See, you ever learn it, but we will not come to the knowledge of the truth. What is he talking about? We'll stop off in the precept in 8:31 and 32. We'll get warm up in St. John 8:31 and 32. They swing right over to 17:17. Mother D of Israel. What does it say?
17:17. St. John chapter 8, verse 31-32. Verse 31. Then says Yahweh the Son to those Yahweh Judah, which believe on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, saluted for followers indeed. 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us clean.
17:17. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, we ever learn, but we just won't come to the knowledge of the truth. 17:17.
What are you talking about? St. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth.
And how long do that in 1:25 of Peter, Moses of Israel? And how long? And Peter pulled that. Peter pulled the verse. Sanctify me through the truth. See, right? 1 Peter 1:25. Do you know the reason you in captivity? It's more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta look at that mirror. Where do you? What part do you line up with this book? So whatever else you want to know, if we all this, you don't pick one people for this. He said, "Yeah, I did it," but y'all, you're not doing my Bible, and I'm gonna come and hurt you if you do my Bible in the man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. First Peter chapter 1 verse
25.
Okay.
125.
Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of Yahweh endures forever. And this is the word which by the covenant is taught unto you.
You see that? So regardless of what we don't like, what we hear, the word going to stand all the way to the end. The reason why you're in captivity, the reason why the 17 nations got you in a kung fu grip, because you refuse to do the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Although he done something for you all day long. What do you do, Mother Jeff Israel? Something he did. Give me Daniel out here, Daniel 9, verse 4. I need to get me some Daniel 9, verse 4. He said, yes, sir, would you own something, but would you read some more of my book? Well, that's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
Read some more of your book. What he says in Daniel chapter 9, Mother Jeff Israel, he's talking in Daniel chapter 9, and we will look right down what he's saying in 6 down to verse number 6 and take it down to verse number 8. 6 to 8 says what? Listen to this. Daniel chapter 9, 6 to 8. Bring it.
Daniel chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Verse 6. Neither have we listened, hearkened unto the servants, the seers, which spake in your name to our king, our prince, and our father, and to all the people of the land. O Yahweh, righteousness belongeth unto you, but unto us confusion of faith, as at this day, to the men of Yagda Judah, and to the inhabitants of Yagda Judah, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though through all the countries, whether you has driven them because of their sins, that they have sinned against you. Verse 8. O Yahweh, to us belong confusion of faith, to our kings, to our prince, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you.
Mother E, hold that point. Back up to Daniel, Mother E, and pick it up at verse 9, and we'll go down to 14 and close the statement. Take a 9 on to verse 14. Daniel chapter 9, hold that point where you at? Yeah, hold that point up, Mother. Pick that statement up at 9 down to verse 14. Let's see what happens. Since we're going to sin against Yahweh, we got written in this Bible the protocol, the order. Let's see what happened, Mother E. And we're going to see what happened, and we pick it up around about 9 to 14. What happened 9 through 14? You on the clock, come on.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 9 to 14. Verse 9. To the Yahweh, our Yahweh, belong mercy and forgiveness. So we have rebelled against him. Verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Yahweh, our Yahweh, to walk in his Torah instruction, which he set before us by his servant, the seer. Verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed the Torah instruction, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse holds upon us, and the oath that is written in the Torah instructions of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, because we have sinned against him. Verse 12, and he has confirmed his word, which he speaks against us and against our judges that judge us by bringing up on us a great evil. For under the whole heaven have not been done as have been done upon Judah, the southern king. Verse 13, as it is written in the Torah instructions of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayers before the Yahweh, our Yahweh, that we might turn from our sin and understand thy truth. Verse 14. Therefore had the Yahweh watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Yahweh, our Yahweh, is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice.
Read verse 11 again. So you see, we have the answers in the Bible. When the question that Ezra asked, well, and since we all this, you made us all this, why is we is on the lowest cutting board? He said, because everything I gave you to do, you won't do. I gave you a dress code, you won't keep it. I gave you a Sabbath day, you won't keep it. I gave you feast days, you won't keep it.
Mm-hmm.
I told you don't be a backbiter, murmuring, complaining, you won't keep it. Everything I told you not to do, you do it. And you want to know why you're in captivity? You want to know why your relationship is not as it should be? Because the order is not set up the way the Bible tells you to do it. You take counsel in your own mind. You don't take counsel according to the word of Yahweh. And that's why you're confused. Read that verse, number 11, and give me a closing statement there, Mother. Mother E. And we'll catch you in the top part of the Saturday, eyeball to eyeball. Let's see what it says over here in 9 verse 11. And this is what don't happen. 9 verse 11. What it say?
Daniel chapter 9 verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed our Torah instruction, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us that is written in the Torah instructions of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, because we have sinned against him.
Mother, what he says on us again? What big word he says on us again? Well, we like it or not, since we want to transgress what he got on the table, what big word that he says is on us as we speak today is what?
Sin.
A curse. He got a curse on us as we speak. A curse. He said, since you're going to sin against me, I'm going to drop a world curse on the 12 tribes of Israel. And wherever you find the 12 tribes of Israel, every nation is above the 12 tribes of Israel. Cost of the curse you will find. You refuse to do the Bible. So you tell me what other nation that we can look down to? None of them. Because the curse is on us because we refuse to do what he did. Closing statement at Mother E. What you got to say behind there when the closing statement come up?
Okay. Okay, I'm reading Psalm 37. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thus ended against the work of iniquity. But they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thus shall be said. Delight thyself also in the Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desire of thy mind." Verse 5, "Commit thy ways unto the Yahweh, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Verse 6, "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his ways because of the man whom brings wicked devise. Verse 7. Rest in the Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who are in his ways. Because of the man who brings wicked devise to pass. Hallelujah.
Mother B of Israel, look at the book of Hebrews, through the title called Hebrews 22-27 in a closing statement. Let's see what it says in the 10th chapter, verse 22 down to verse 27. He's the reason why the children of Israel is being bull with all over the known world. And he is right here. And 10:22 down to verse 27, and the closing statement. What does it say there, Mother E? Mother D up Israel?
Hebrews, Palooza for Ephraim, chapter 10:22-27.
Yes, ma'am. And the closing statement. What does it say?
Okay. Let us draw near with a true mind and all full assurance of the covenant, having our minds sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. Verse 25. Not forsaking to assemble ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. 27. But a certain fearful looking for our judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary.
Excellent. Close the page behind that. He said, if you're not going to do what I got to tell you to, just get ready for the fight. That's what he said. Close the page behind that.
Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the word of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
After that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black Messiah unless we create him.
No, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. No, you're not gonna create nothing this time. You're gonna lose this battle. Voices of the Truth is like on 48 people in the mind. So you're not gonna pick the leaders for us. Catch y'all on the top part of the second day. Yahweh beat y'all, the mothers, brothers, elders, and all. Yahweh beat y'all. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Come on.